Okay, it's going.
Guruji, Shastra says that someone who desires self-realization or advancement in spiritual life needs to accept the spiritual master. And it's important that it's a living guru so that there can be personal relationship and guidance. But how does that work if someone has, let's say, 30,000 disciples?
That's a detail, or it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because the vidhi is that upadikshantiti jnanam, that you need to accept a living spiritual master, whether the spiritual master has 30,000 disciples or 3 disciples, whether he's big or small, or he's good looking or not, or he speaks nicely to you or he doesn't. Those are other issues, but they're not relevant to whether you should accept the living spiritual master or not. And because Krishna makes these rules, therefore, if we want to get the result of our devotional service, we have to do it Krishna's way, not our way.
But isn't one of the principles that the guru is accessible to the disciple? That's why it's not recommended to choose someone, let's say, from the other side of the world who will never see you and will never have an effect on your life.
That's all right, but it's not a but. It's not relevant to this argument. It just means that people should accept a living guru who they have experience with, who's nearby, and who they can communicate with. Because it's not relevant, because when you say, well, then I'll take... If the living guru you can't associate with and get sangha with, then you're certainly not going to get it from the departed one. So it's just not logical. It's a different issue. The issue is, yes, generally speaking, the person from whom you get shiksha, they're the person that you should be getting diksha from. That's, Prabhupada says, that's the tradition, that's what makes sense. It's like boy and girl grow up together, then it sort of makes sense that they get married because they know each other instead of going off with some stranger somewhere they never met before.
We also say that the compatibility with the spiritual master is also important, so everyone chooses a guru who they feel they can hear the best from, like they can understand the same teachings the best way, but maybe that person who I can hear from the best way lives far away.
Compatibility can be a factor. It's not necessarily a factor. Srila Prabhupada, was the only spiritual master. There's not necessarily somewhere that there has to be a compatibility test in order to choose a guru. Although Sanatana Goswami does give different conditions from whom one should accept a spiritual master, but then those are footnoted later on that these are for materialistic people. So as much as we're conditioned to that degree, we're going to depend upon conditions. But if we're more Krishna conscious, then we're going to take other factors into consideration, or these material conditions won't be so determining factor. Like I gave the example, if a not so Krishna conscious person, if the spiritual master starts hitting him with a stick, may end up taking him to court nowadays. But Shamananda Pandit, he considered that was a great blessing by his spiritual master. So not but not only there, was there even an incompatibility from the material point of view, although neither or both of them are eternal associates, but actually even spiritually they were incompatible, in that one was a cowherd boy and the other was a gopi, and that ended up to friction. And the spiritual master insisted, no, you have to embrace this Sakya Bhav, and Shyamananda Prabhu couldn't do it. He didn't reject his guru. And ultimately, by Krishna's arrangement, it was worked out. So, yeah, there are conditions that sometimes help young people, just like when people get married. So does it help for people to be attracted to each other if you're conditioned? That's a requirement. It does. But we see that it doesn't necessarily lead to a stable marriage just because you're attracted, because you can get unattracted also later on, or you can get attracted to someone else. But compatibility may be much more important than material attraction. Or the wisdom of your parents may be much better thing than what you think is someone who you feel attracted to. But that shouldn't be the only consideration. There are other considerations, and then those should also be met.
Guru, yesterday I was reading a quote from Srila Prabhupada from 1977, May, where he's talking about the nature of the material body, that it perishes, and he's saying that it's actually irrelevant because the body is there, but we know how Prabhupada's disappearance affected the whole of ISKCON and all of his disciples. So how can we understand his statement saying it's irrelevant?
Well, it's not that it's completely irrelevant, that it has no bearing. It's just that Prabhupada always wanted to emphasize that in the ultimate issue, the lasting, permanent, and fully reliable ingredient is Vani. It doesn't mean that Vapu is immaterial. It just means that you have to accept that it's temporary, but the Vani is always there, and the Vani can always make up where the Vapu lacks. Either if the person has already left from this world, or maybe he's still in the world. The Vani is relevant. It's also spiritual. It's something that all devotees hanker after, but because the material world is what it is, you have to just accept the fact that at some point or another, one is not able to have the Vani, and that's what Prabhupada says, well, it's not material, but the Vani will do whatever is required. And of course, part of the Vani is that you seek out the Vapu of other Vaishnavas. You seek out Sadhu Sangha. That's also Vani. So Sadhu Sangha we always have. If this Sadhu is gone, then we seek the association of other Sadhus.
Pretty much when it's said that within Vani, if someone fully surrenders to the Vani, then one can meet the spiritual master. Does it mean the tattva, the principle of the guru, or even the person?
Both. Everything is possible. It's a transcendental principle, guru tattva, in which Krishna is really the presiding deity, and he's overseeing everything and making sure that everything transpires to the advancement of the disciple. So yoga kshema bahami aham. And there's never any real loss in terms of spiritual loss. There may be emotional loss, there may be physical absence. It's just like separation in the spiritual world isn't a spiritual loss, it's actually a gain. You get more.
But then again, when the gopis are told by Krishna that you should associate with me through my body, then we want you in person.
That's because they're in an eternal situation where they won't get separated from Krishna anyway. In other words, they can argue with Krishna. Yes, I would want your vapu, but that vapu is never going to die. They may be separated temporarily. But for us, the relevant thing is that, yes, we should do just that, just what Krishna says. So you should chant about me and hear about me, and then you'll associate with me. And then when one becomes gets the opportunity for that association at that level, then you can argue with Krishna. But here in the material world, you can't argue with the material energy. Can't argue. This is what we bought into. That everything here is going to be temporary. We thought it was a good idea, so at least until we get out of this temporary world, we don't have to live with it. But when you go back to the spiritual world, then it's different. Then even though there may be separation, but it's temporary. Of course, this is also temporary, but it's in a different way. Okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna send these away. Hare Krishna.